of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 13. 2 Chronicles, chapter 13. This morning, and we had some dentist appointments this last week, and I tell you what, that was... I'm not very fond of going to the dentist. It was not a good experience, but you know, and my teeth felt great before, but now they just don't feel right. They got drilling around in there. Amen. But you know, it was good to be out. It's good to be back home though, and I want to start reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 12. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, we'll just read the first 12 verses. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse number 1. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him, with 800,000 chosen men being mighty men of valor. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, Hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt. Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David? And ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made for you for gods. Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and 7 rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods? But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, and the gold, and the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord, God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. Let's go ahead and read through the end of the chapter. I wasn't going to, but let's go ahead and do so. Verse 13, But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind him, so that they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah, and the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter, so there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed, because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued after Jeroboam, and took cities from him, Bethel with the towns thereof, and Jeshanah with the towns thereof, and Ephraim with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah waxed mighty, and married 14 wives, and begat 22 sons and 16 daughters. And the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word, to be a blessing and an encouragement to your people, Lord, here this morning, and to those who have gathered here today. We pray, Lord, that you would be with the message. Lord, I pray that you'd use me as I preach, Lord. I know that I, in myself, can do nothing. Lord, I know, God, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And, Lord, I have nothing to glory about in myself, Lord. My glory is in the cross this morning, and I pray, God, that you would hide me behind the shadows of a bloody cross, Lord, today, and use me today. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts this morning through the message, and Lord, I pray that your will would be done in our lives today. May you have your will and way in everything that's said and done in the service this morning. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's not saved, that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would make that all-important decision to trust Christ as their personal Savior today before they leave this building. In your name we pray. Amen. After the death of Rehoboam, king of Judah, in chapter 12, his son Abijah takes the throne. And the Bible says in verse 2, there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Remember, after the death of Solomon, the kingdom was split in two. There was a northern kingdom, and then there was a southern kingdom, and there was a kind of a civil war going on between the two kingdoms. Now, Abijah, he reigned in the south. He reigned in the southern kingdom, and Jeroboam ruled in the northern kingdom. And these two kings were not friends. They didn't get along too well. They didn't like each other very much. And when Abijah's grandfather, Solomon, was king, remember, it was Jeroboam who was kind of under him, and Solomon kind of gave Jeroboam a hard time. And then, of course, after Solomon's death, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, Abijah's father, they didn't quite see eye to eye. And to make a long story short, there was war. There was bad feelings. The kingdom was divided. There was 10 tribes in the north, and those 10 tribes in the north decided to make Jeroboam their king. And there was 2 tribes in the south, and those 2 tribes decided to make Rehoboam their ruler, and they embraced Rehoboam as their king. And now his son Abijah takes the throne, and he is their leader, he is their king. And here in this chapter, all the bad feelings, all of the wrong things that have happened, and all the misunderstandings that the two sides had toward one another, they're about to come to a head. And the Bible says in verse 3, the battle was set in array. On one side you had Jeroboam, and with him an army of mighty men. And then on the other side we had Abijah, and he had an army of valiant men. And the two sides are about to do battle. They're about to attack one another and chop one another into little pieces. But before the battle begins, the Bible says in verse 4, Abijah stood up and beckoned for Jeroboam and the people of Israel to hearken unto him and to listen to him. Abijah, the Bible says, stood up on Mount Zemaraim, and he said to Jeroboam and to Jeroboam's men who were with him, hey, listen up, there's something I've got to tell you that's important. There's something I've got to say to you, and I want to give you this thought before we go on to kill each other and to go to war. And while Abijah was speaking, while Abijah was giving his little talk, Jeroboam had some men of his sneak up around Abijah and get behind Abijah and his army. And the Bible says in verse 13, Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them so that Abijah's army was surrounded. But the Lord was with Abijah that day, and he helped Abijah in battle and delivered Jeroboam and the men of Israel into Abijah's hand. Jeroboam and the men of Israel here in this chapter were soundly defeated. They were there wasn't even a contest here, and they were defeated in battle by Abijah and the men of Judah. And the Bible says in verses 20 and 21, neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him that he died, and he died. Jeroboam died and never really reached his full potential for God. Jeroboam and the men of Israel lost the battle. But look what the Bible says in the first part of verse 21. The Bible says there in the first part of verse 21, but Abijah waxed mighty. But Abijah waxed mighty. I'm going to preach this morning just for a few minutes on why Abijah abounded. Why Abijah abounded. The Bible says Abijah waxed mighty. And I want to point out some reasons why Abijah abounded in this chapter, and then I'll be done. I don't know about you, but I want to abound in my Christian walk. I don't just want to get by. I don't want to be a so-so Christian. I want to wax mighty as a Christian. I want to abound like Abijah abounded here in this chapter. I don't want to end up like Jeroboam, that's for sure. If you study the life of Jeroboam in the Bible, you'll find that Jeroboam actually started out on the right path. But later on, he got all messed up in sin and idolatry. And the Bible says in verse 20, after his defeat in this chapter, he never recovered his strength again. Jeroboam got weaker and weaker, but Abijah got stronger and stronger. Jeroboam got further and further away from God, while Abijah, the Bible says, waxed mighty. Jeroboam, in this chapter we read, was smitten by God. The Bible says the Lord struck him that he died. Jeroboam had gotten so far away from God and God's will for his life that God had to smite him. But God strengthened Abijah. Abijah abounded. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to dry up on God and die spiritually. I don't want to grow so cold and so hard that one day God has to smite me. I know my flesh. It's wicked. It's corrupt. It doesn't want to do right. It's opposed to God and everything that's right and everything that's godly, and it wants its own way all the time. And I know if my flesh gets the best of me, I'm going to end up like Jeroboam. Jeroboam died a spiritual reject because he would not listen to God and he let his flesh control him. Now, I'm sure Jeroboam never dreamed his life would end this way. I'm sure he never thought that his life would end the way that it did, but that's what can happen when a person gets out of the will of God and goes off in a different direction. And I'm not here to preach about Jeroboam. I'm here to preach about Abijah. I'm here to talk about the Abijah, but I want to warn you, the same thing can happen to us. And I say, no thanks. I don't want to end up like Jeroboam. I want to abound like Abijah abounded in this chapter. So there are some things that I want to point out to you. There are some things that I want to see in Abijah's life in these verses that caused him to wax mighty. Let me give you some thoughts and I'll be done. First of all, Abijah abounded because he abhorred evil. Abijah abounded because he abhorred evil. Look at verses 4 through 9. Verse 4, Abijah stands up on the mountain and he cries out to Jeroboam and to all Israel and says, "Hear me." Verse 5, he says, ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the son of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who, when Rehoboam was young and tender, and could not withstand them. And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made for gods. Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands? So that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods. So, in this chapter we see how that in verses 4 through 9, Abijah stands up and he calls sin by its name. And he lets Jeroboam and the men of Belial who were with him know that they were living in rebellion against the word of the Lord. Abijah told that crowd that they weren't right with God. He said in verse 5, don't you guys know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom of Israel to David and to his seed forever? Jeroboam and the men who were with him had no right to oppose the authority of the king of Judah. And that's what this was all about. They were out of line. And that bothered Abijah. He couldn't keep silent any longer. He had to express his displeasure with the rebellious attitude and the stubbornness of Jeroboam and the men of Israel. And it should bother us when we see the same thing happening in the world today. When we see people living in rebellion against God's Word and the authority of God's Word in their lives, it should cause us to want to stand up and speak out and say, hey, you're out of line. When we see young people today rebelling against the authority that God has placed over them in the home, it should cause us to want to stand up and say, hey, that's not right. We should speak out. We should desire to speak out. And that's exactly what Abijah did here. Jeroboam and that crowd, not one of them was right with the Lord. Not one of them was living for the Lord at the time. And Abijah could have went into battle that day and just kept his mouth shut and not said anything. But he got up in front of that crowd and he rolled up his shirt sleeves and he made sure that he was within spitting distance and he preached the devil out of that crowd. And I don't know about you, but that's the way I like it. I like straight preaching. And you can have this wishy-washy, mealy-mouthed, panty waist, feel good, cotton candy junk that we've got on the television and on the radio today. I'm not interested in that mess. Just give me old time, devil hating, sin killing, fundamental Bible preaching. It'll get the job done every time. What we need in America today is more Holy Spirit filled preachers who love God and abhor evil enough to get in the pulpit on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and cry aloud and spare not and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and cry out against the sin and the wickedness and the corruption in our society. Abijah abounded because he abhorred evil. I wonder how much we abhor evil today. How much do we hate sin today? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, we are to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We're not supposed to ignore sin. Or we're not supposed to just tolerate evil. We're not supposed to accept wickedness as normal. The Bible says we're to abhor evil. We're to despise, detest, loathe, and hate evil with an extreme passion. That means no rock and roll music. That means, when I say rock and roll, I'm talking about rap, rip, country, pop, hip-hop. I'm talking about all that junk. That means no MTV. That means no HBO or Showtime. That means no pornographic websites or illicit chat rooms and all the rest. That means that the music that we listen to ought to be clean and pure and godly. That means no immoral music. That means no movies with vulgar or foul or obscene, filthy language in them. You see, you can't listen to that garbage. You can't listen to that junk and be right with God. You can't expose yourself to evil influences like that without it affecting you spiritually. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to get you to see that Abijah abounded in this chapter because he abhorred that which was evil. Look what Abijah said to Jeroboam and the men that were with him in verse 8. The Bible says there, Abijah speaks up and he says, "Now, ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves which Jeroboam made for your gods." Jeroboam and that whole thing had decided that he was going to set up some gods. He was going to make golden calves for the people to worship. The 10 northern tribes that sided with Jeroboam were worshiping the idols that he had set up. They were worshiping these golden calves. And they had forsaken the true worship of the Lord God. And Abijah said, "Hey, if you think you're going to prosper and be successful in battle and in life while you're living in idolatry and immorality, you're crazy. That's not going to happen." You know, the Bible says in Psalms 97, verse 10, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. You can tell how much a person loves God by how much they hate sin. Because a person with a close relationship with the Lord is going to love what's right and hate what's wrong. When a person loves God and wants to abound spiritually, the first thing they'll learn to do is abhor evil and keep sin out of their lives. Let me move on for those of you who are still listening. Not only did Abijah abound because he abhorred evil, he abounded because he abided in the Lord. Abijah said in verse 10, "But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken Him." Abijah told Jeroboam and the men that were with him, "You guys can go off and worship your golden calves all you want to, have yourselves a time, but as for us, we are going to worship God. We will not forsake the Lord." Abijah abounded because he abided in the Lord. He abided in the will of God. You know, it was never God's will for Jeroboam to make those golden calves and to have the people go off and worship those golden calves. It was never God's will for him to do that. It was never God's will for Jeroboam to oppose the leadership in Judah. God had established the kingdom of Judah by the hand of David, his servant, and it was God's will for them to get behind their king and to support him and not to cause problems for him. The strife and conflict that we're seeing take place in these verses was a result of Jeroboam being out of the will of God and wanting his own way. Abijah, on the other hand, he stayed in the will of God. He wanted the Lord's will to be done in his life. He wanted the Lord's will to be done in the lives of God's people. And I think that's what we should desire. We should all desire to be in the will of the Lord. That's the best place a Christian can be, is in the will of the Lord. But watch out, when a Christian gets out of the will of God, there's going to be problems. Abijah stayed in the will of God. He wanted the Lord's will to be done in his life, not his own. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we're to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, how do we do that? By presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And by not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's how we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to be in the will of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go off and do my own thing like Jeroboam did. I want to abide in the will of the Lord like Abijah did. Abijah abounded because he abided in the will of God. And then also he abounded because he abided in the Word of God and in the ways of God. Look what Jeroboam said in the last part of verse 11. He said, for we keep the charge of the Lord our God. We keep the charge of the Lord our God. I want you to think about what he's saying there in these circumstances. Abijah, of course, was the king of Judah. And Abijah and the people of Judah were faithful to observe what was written in the law. That's what he's saying. He abided in the Word of God. He abided in the ways of God. Abijah could have done what Jeroboam did and just made up his own rules as he went along, but he didn't do that. The Word of the Lord was the priority in his life. Knowing God's commandments and keeping God's commandments was important to Abijah, and obeying God's laws should be important to us. And we'll never abound spiritually if we aren't faithful to read and study the Word of God and then apply its teachings to our everyday lives. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We're to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. God wants us to be rich in the wisdom that is offered to us through His Word, in His Word. And I want to encourage you this morning to get in the Bible and read. Find out what it says and then obey it. Abijah abounded because he abided in the Word of God. He abounded because he abided in the ways of God. And he abounded because he abided in the work of God. Look at what Abijah said in verses 10 through 11. He said, but as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron. And the Levites wait upon their business. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifice and sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. While Jeroboam and the 10 northern tribes, they had forsaken the true worship of God. They had gone a-whoring after idols. They had cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and they had ordained priests who were not of the sons of Levi. Abijah and the people of Judah had continued faithfully to serve the Lord in the right way and in the right place. The religion of Jeroboam and the northern tribes of Israel was a false and idolatrous religion, but Abijah was no idolater. He was faithful to worship the Lord. He was faithful to worship God, and he was faithful to be involved in the things of the Lord, and he abided in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord and the service of the temple was important to Abijah because he knew that that was important to God. That's what God was impressed with. That's what meant more to God than anything else. Abijah had his priorities right. He put God first in his life. He was dedicated to the work of the Lord. He was committed to the pure worship of Jehovah in Israel. In Israel, at this time, there was only one place a person could go to worship God. And that one place was the temple at Jerusalem. The Bible talks about the high places that many of the kings had set up. Those high places were wicked. They were not to worship God in the high places. They were not to worship God in any other place but at the temple of the Lord. That's where the people were to go if they wanted to get close to God. But what Jeroboam did when the kingdom was divided, he set up two golden calves, one in Bethel and one in Dan, for the people to worship. Because he didn't want the northern tribes of the northern people, the people living in the northern part of Israel, to worship at the temple, because he was afraid if the people went down to the temple at Jerusalem and began to worship the Lord the right way, that the heart of the people would turn towards the king of Judah. And he didn't want that to happen. I'll tell you how wicked Jeroboam was. Not only did he discourage the people from going to the house of God, and not only did he cause them to fall into idolatry, but the Bible says he ordained priests of the lowest of the people who were not the sons of Levi. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that God had appointed the Levites to minister in the temple. That was their job. These men were called, consecrated, separated servants of the Lord. They were God's men. They were God's priests. They were His ministers in Israel. So what did Jeroboam do? He told the people in the northern tribes, oh, you don't have to go all that way to worship the Lord. You don't have to go all that way to worship. You can worship right here. There's a golden calf over here in Dan. There's a golden calf in Bethel. Bethel, of course, that word means house of God. He set up a golden calf, an idol, for the people to worship in a place called the house of God. How wicked is that? He said, oh, you don't have to worry about going down to Jerusalem to worship. You can worship right here. You don't have to go very far. We even have priests that will tell you exactly what you want to hear, and they'll make you feel good about yourself. Those sons of Levi, now, they're old-fashioned. They're too legalistic. They're too hard and straight. Their standards are too high. They believe in holy living. You don't want to go down to that crowd. They believe in separation from the world. They believe the Bible is the Word of God. They believe in tithing. They actually name sin from the pulpit. Don't go down to Jerusalem. Those Levites, they're just going to brainwash you. You just stay right here. You can worship the golden calves that I have set up. And the priests, they'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. The Bible says Jeroboam made priests of the lowest of the people. And it doesn't say the poorest of the people. It says the lowest of the people. That means that the men that Jeroboam appointed to oversee this false worship that was going on in Bethel and in Dan where these golden calves were set up, these men were not godly men. They were wicked men. They were hirelings. They were corrupt. They were liberal. They had no standards. They had no convictions. They let the people shack up, get drunk, fornicate, and live like hell. They didn't care what the Bible had to say. They had their little watered-down Bible version, and they had their little talks and sermonettes for Christianettes, and they played the world music during their worship, and they just had themselves a time. They accepted alternative lifestyles. They were tolerant of that junk, and they didn't want to offend anybody or step on anybody's toes. They wanted to be popular and liked, and they led the people away from the true worship of the Lord. Is anybody still listening? This is what's happening today in our churches. This is what's happening today in our community. Abijah abided in the work of the Lord. He supported his priests. He got behind them. He stood by them. He prayed for them. And every once in a while, he even said amen during the preaching. He wanted to let God's men know that he appreciated them and the work they were doing and their faithfulness. Abijah abounded because he abided in the work of the Lord. And then lastly, I see another reason why Abijah abounded in this chapter. Abijah abounded because he believed that God was able. He believed that God was able. Look at verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, well, Abijah is giving his message to Jeroboam and the men of Israel. Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come up behind them so that they were before Judah and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. And then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. While Abijah was talking and telling Jeroboam and his men what the word of the Lord had to say, they were sneaking up about around him and getting ready to ambush him. And the Bible says when Judah looked back, the battle was before them and behind them. And Jeroboam's army was twice the size of Abijah's army. Jeroboam had twice as many valiant men and soldiers as Abijah did. Abijah was outnumbered by 2-1. Abijah was not only a man of character in this chapter as we see and as we've read, and not only was he a man of conviction, but he was also a man of great faith. And even though he was outnumbered, he believed that his God was able to deliver him out of the hand of Jeroboam. Look what Abijah said in verse 10. The Lord is our God. The Lord is our God. Look what he said in verse 12. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain. And he says, fight ye not against the Lord, for ye shall not prosper. The words spoken by Abijah in this chapter, in these verses, are some of the greatest words of faith that you'll find written anywhere in the Bible. even though Abijah was outnumbered, even though the battle was before him and the battle was behind him, even though things were looking pretty bad, and even though he was faced with impossible situations and in an almost circumstance that was beyond his control, and he was unable to even think about overcoming this, Abijah had faith in the Lord his God. He believed that the Lord was able to deliver him, and God did deliver Abijah. And he knew, Abijah knew that Jeroboam and the army of Israel would not prosper because God had judged them, and that because they had forsaken the Lord. And he believed that God would protect him and that God would fight for him because his cause was just and because he was in the right. Abijah and the men of Judah who trust in the Lord were blessed with victory. The Bible says in verse 15, God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Judah. And all Israel fled before Judah. The verse 16 says, and God delivered them into their hand. Verse 18 says, the children of Judah prevailed against the armies of Jeroboam because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. In their distress, when danger was on every side, they looked upwards to the God of heaven for deliverance. The Bible says in verse 14, they cried unto the Lord, and God heard their cry, and he was happy to come to their aid. Sometimes God leads his people into distress to cause us to cry out to him for help. And here in this chapter, we see that God heard the people's prayer of faith. Abijah and his men simply believed God. They believed that God was able, and they relied upon him. They depended upon his power to help them, and they committed themselves to him. And after they cried unto the Lord, the Bible says in verse 15, if you'll notice that, they gave a shout. The men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam. They shouted because they were confident of victory. Even before they had won the battle, even before the victory was complete, they shouted like they had won the battle. They shouted like they knew that God was going to help them and give them the victory. And they did obtain a complete victory. They abounded because they believed that their God was able to deliver them. And hey, folks, we have a great God. We have a great God, and there's nothing that he can't do, and it doesn't matter what problems you're going through. It doesn't matter what your situation is this morning, what your circumstances are this day. I do know that if you want to abound, and if you want to wax mighty like Abijah waxed mighty in this chapter, if you want God's blessings and power upon your life to overcome circumstances and situations in your life that you're faced with, if you want to wax mighty like Abijah did in this chapter, then Abijah, the example that he gave us, that God has given to us in his word, he abhorred evil. We need to follow that example. We need to learn to hate sin and hate evil. And we also need to abide in the Lord. We need to abide in his will. Find out what God's will is for your life and then do it. Abide in it. We need to abide in his word and his ways. We need to find out what God's word says, and then we need to do it. We need to be faithful to live the Bible. And then we need to be involved in his work. We need to abide in the work of the Lord. What is important to God ought to be important to us. And then we need to believe that God is able, because, hey, there are circumstances, there are times when we are in distress like Abijah was in this chapter, and there's going to be times when we don't know if there's going to be any solution. And we're not going to be able to see any way out. And the battle is going to be before us, and it's going to be behind us, and we're going to feel like we're surrounded by the enemy. But hey, we need to look up to God. And we need to believe that God is able, that our God can do anything. And he is a great God. We need to trust in the Lord, and we need to commit our lives to him, to his care. And that's exactly what Abijah did in this chapter. Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Just for a few moments. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who does not know Christ as their Savior. And if there's anybody here this day that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior today. Maybe someone would say, you know what, the Lord's spoken to my heart. This morning I'm not saved. I don't know Christ. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to come down and try to talk you into being saved. I'm not going to do that. I just want to pray for you. Is anybody here that would say, I'm not saved? Please pray for me. I don't know Christ as my Savior. Anybody? Maybe there's a Christian here this morning that would say, you know what? I'm tired of living a so-so Christian life. I want to abound in my Christian walk. I want to abound like Abijah did. Would you pray for me? Anybody? Say, I want to abound. I see that hand. Thank you. I will pray for you. Anybody else? Say, I want to abound. I want to learn to abhor evil. I want to abide in the work of the Lord. I see that hand. The way of the Lord and the word of the Lord and the will of God. Anybody else? Lord, you've seen the hands this morning. Lord, you know the hearts of your people. I know it was a hard message this morning, but this world isn't getting any more godly, any more clean. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And we need hard preaching. We need hard preaching, Lord. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to look to you. Lord, I believe that you are able to do great and mighty things through this church, through the people here in this church, in this community. If I didn't believe that, Lord, I wouldn't have come here. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would soften our hearts. Lord, help us to desire to know you. May the things of this world grow strangely dim compared to the light and wonderful glory of your countenance. Lord, I pray that your presence would be in our lives, be real in our lives every day. I pray, Lord, for those who have raised their hands this morning, desired to abound as a Christian. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help them, encourage them, strengthen them, Lord. Help us all, Lord, to abhor evil. Help us all to abide in you. Help us all to remember that we serve a great God who can do anything. Our God is able to deliver us, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance. I pray, Lord, for anybody here this morning that is not saved, Lord, that they would come to know Christ as their Savior today. May they understand and realize that Jesus Christ died for them on the cross, paid the penalty for their sins, gave His life so that they could live. And by faith in Him, by faith in His shed blood, they can have a right relationship with you. Help them to understand. Help them to realize that, Lord. Help them to seek the help that they need spiritually to make that decision, the all-important decision to trust Christ as their Savior today. In your name we pray. Amen. Scott, why don't we have a song in closing? If you'd come, and of course the altar's open. If you need to come and pray, and do business with God, you're welcome to. We're going to sing a song and then we're going to close. Thank you for coming.
Like unto thee, O Lord among the gods, who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee, O Lord among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises?